Hello, Tom Myers here. If you're like me and you've got a lot to say, a lot of stories to share, a lot of opinions to give, then listen up. I'm going to talk about something that's going to take your passion for podcasts to the next level. I'm talking about the 7 Million Bikes podcast course. This is the podcasting course you need. Imagine having the skills, the knowledge, and the confidence to create, produce, and grow a successful podcast. And you're not doing it alone. I'm talking about Neil Mackay, the podcast guy, founder of 7 Million Bikes Podcasts. He knows what it takes to turn your passion into a podcast that stands out. He's going to guide you through everything from podcast ideas that resonate to nailing that audio production and even editing your episodes like a pro. With 23 tutorials and over 3 hours of video content, this course is packed with practical tips, real-world examples, and everything you need to know to get started. Just $97 for a wealth of knowledge that'll set you up for podcasting success? It's a no-brainer. Think about it. Less than $100 to unleash your creativity, share your story, and potentially even turn your passion into a profitable business. People like Ian Payton, who's taken the course, launched their own podcast, and already in the top 10% of podcasts worldwide. And you could be next. The 7 Million Bikes podcast course is your ticket to podcasting greatness. Go to the link in my show notes right now and let's make your podcasting dream a reality.
Hi, I'm Aaron, the owner and producer of Oddly Funny Productions. That's Awdly Funny Productions. Bombing Run, the original comedy combat game show. It's an hour's worth of comedians clashing with their jokes. And soon to be released, Orb's Wacky World, a talk show with a twist. It'll be a mix of comedy, unusual questions, and music with Orb as the host. Oddly Funny Productions. We might be odd, but we bring the funny to you. That's Awdly Funny Productions.
Hey everyone, it's me again. If you're tired of listening to this show with all these ads in the way, go ahead and subscribe to my Patreon. In addition to listening to this show without the ads, you also get extended versions of these episodes and bonus clips as well. Doesn't cost that much. You can get plans for as low as $1 a month. You can show the love and your support. Just go to patreon.com/TomMyers, spelled M-Y-E-R-S, and subscribe and listen and enjoy today. Again, that's patreon.com/TomMyers.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, and welcome to Tom Myers versus the rest of the world. This past week, President Biden gave his State of the Union address. It was an exciting event with lots of fanfare, complete with Marjorie Taylor Greene dressing like one of those people at sporting events with a t-shirt gun if she accidentally turned it on herself. The Republicans were collectively emasculated during the speech. Between the expressions on Speaker Mike Johnson's face and Alabama Senator Katie Britt's affect on the Republican Party's response, the two of them together might make the perfect couple you would meet at a swingers party. Specifically, they would be the last two faces you see before the drugs kick in and you lose consciousness. During Biden's speech, Mike Johnson's facial expressions looked like those of the pet in the shelter that no one adopts and knows it's going to be euthanized the following day. In her response to the State of the Union, Alabama Senator Katie Britt delivered it from her kitchen, which made it extra awkward, just as she looked about as familiar with that kitchen as much as a nun is familiar with a butt plug. Katie Britt delivered the response to the State of the Union with all the body language of the lady who reads the news on North Korean state TV. Judging from that speech, in retrospect, Katie Britt might have been the inspiration for the Alabama court ruling banning in vitro fertilization. Since we were last on, CPAC had their annual convention. One of the speakers there said to look out for dangerous liberal organizations and specifically cited AARP. The AARP? Dangerous liberals? Really? AARP is retired people. Conservatives, that's your target demographic. The only time retired people are dangerous is when they get out of the bathtub. We just lost the senior audience. That's fine, though. What about January 6th? You might say, oh, they aren't retired. The correct term is unemployed. Mitch McConnell announced he would step down as the leader of the Senate Republicans at the end of the year. He followed that up with... Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema has announced that she will not run for re-election to her seat. It's no big loss, as she's buddied up to conservatives so much that Trump supporters considered using her as a substitute for Marjorie Taylor Greene in her fantasies. And now, on with the show. Please join me in welcoming Joshua Postel, Valerie Pascal, and Walter Gottlieb.
Yay!
Hello!
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Walter, welcome back. You know, I realized it's been a while since I've had you on, so my apologies about that.
It's only been since the Ice Age, dude. Relax. I'm not hurt. The Pleistocene era when I was last on this podcast.
Well, just for those who don't know, like Walter, I called him at the last moment as a last minute replacement. Someone wasn't able to make the... wasn't able to make it. I won't really go into it. Like, there's really only like a couple of things that's okay for you to miss this podcast if you commit to it. Like, you know, one is like, you know, medical emergency, and the other is like if you have a paid gig. Like, I know what this podcast pays, so I'm like, fuck it, go ahead and take it. Like, I'll like. If it is a club booking you at the last minute, are you getting like a couple hundred bucks to do like a 20-minute set? That's fine. I can write that off. No biggie. Or more importantly, are you getting paid $10 to perform at a bar where three people were stabbed last week? Take that gig. That pays better than this podcast. And given that I'm going to be playing a lot of clips of Republicans and stuff from the dark web universe, like getting stabbed, I'm sure is a much more fun experience.
Amen.
It's all but official. This year's presidential contest will be a rematch of the 2020 election between Biden and Trump. This is the first time we've had a rematch since 1956, when Adlai Stevenson tried to challenge President Dwight Eisenhower. The only difference this year is the challenger acts like he stopped taking his ADHD medication, shoved the pill up his ass, and started dancing naked in his living room while a Ted Nugent double live album plays in the background.
Oh, God.
Nikki Haley did win two primaries, one in Washington, D.C., and another in Vermont, which isn't saying much. It's the equivalent of quitting smoking and chewing gum while you're dying of emphysema. It's not entirely hard to win a Republican primary in D.C., as all you have to do is personally call all five of the registered Republicans who live there. Trump isn't the only quote-unquote incumbent who lost a primary. In the Democratic primary in American Samoa, the winner was venture capitalist Jason Palmer. As a result, he will get three delegates to the Democratic convention this summer. Coincidentally, three is also the number of people who will miss Kyrsten Sinema being in the Senate.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Seriously, no one else could win an election like this unless they had a lot of money. The last person to sink this much money into an island was Jeffrey Epstein. found this out. This is interesting. Jason Palmer is a resident of Baltimore, Maryland, which means if everything that Trump-sponsored media says about the existence of the deep state and their capabilities is true, then Jason Palmer may be the first Baltimore resident to be the victim of a targeted assassination and not have anything to do with drugs. like I said, it's the inevitable. We pretty much knew, I think, as soon as Trump lost 4 years ago, that there was the strong likelihood of a Biden-Trump reimagining. Even if Biden decided not to run again, like, we knew Trump was going to run again, try and retake the Oval Office. Or is anybody else on this panel having as much of a sense of foreboding and misery as I'm having?
I'm trying to not think about it, but I'm going to get there. I'm going to get to misery and foreboding.
I'll put it this way. I'm like starting to like Google, like, what is it going to take to drive to Puerto Vallarta?
Tom, is your misery and foreboding because it's a Biden-Trump rematch, or because there's still a possibility Trump could win? What's the foreboding about?
But one of the things that has me depressed about it is, like, people were telling me, oh, Trump's lost, you're not going to have anything to talk about. And what I told them was, well, okay, he's out of office and Democrats are in, but the people who supported Trump aren't going away. Like, they're still going to be there. And if anything, it's going to be like, it's going to be like the sequel to an action film or a horror film. It's like, they're back and they're really pissed off. So, the vote of Trump supporters increased from 2016 to 2020. And so I'm just worried that'll probably happen again in, this year as well. So that's what's really got me terrified.
But Tom, don't be so sure that Nikki Haley won't be the nominee, because it could end up being like America's Got Talent, where, you know, if there's a tie in the audience vote, it goes to like the Dunkin' Donuts challenge, and she could win. She could still win, you know. Simon could be like, your performance was great, Nikki. I loathed your backing track. That kind of thing.
You think
so? Don't count her out, Tom.
I don't know. That would assume a tie in the audience vote.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that's not happening.
That would assume that some of these people are going to flip. The only thing they're flipping for is Trump's cheese ball gold sneakers. Okay.
Like, people seem to think that, and I think there's some legitimate concern about this, that if people consume too much media, get all their information from there, then certain things are going to be ingrained into one's mind, like, oh, Biden's too old, he's a dotterer, he stutters, he falls asleep. You know, whether or not some of that stuff is true. But the only hope I really have is that the American voter will have this kind of, they'll have this fuck you attitude toward the media. And I think we're hoping it goes, that fuck you attitude goes one particular way. In this clip from her speech suspending her campaign, Nikki Haley stopped short of doing what most of the 2024 Republican field has no issue doing, endorsing their party's inevitable nominee.
While we stand strong for the cause of freedom, we must bind together as Americans. We must turn away from the darkness of hatred and division. I will continue to promote all those values, as is the right of every American. I sought the honor of being your president, but in our great country, being a private citizen is privilege enough in itself. And that's a privilege I very much look forward to enjoying. In all likelihood, Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee when our party convention meets in July. I congratulate him and wish him well. I wish anyone well who would be America's president. Our country is too precious to let our differences divide us. I have always been a conservative Republican and always supported the Republican nominee. But on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind. It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that. At its best, politics is about bringing people into your cause, not turning them away. And our conservative cause badly needs more people. This is now his time for choosing.
The difference I see in between this particular election and in 2016 is that, yes, the number of people who voted against Donald Trump or for a non-Trump candidate in the Republican primary then, it's about the same as it was now. He does have this, we do have the added benefit of saying, okay, he's been in office, he's done all this stuff, so like barely being able to crack 60% in a place like Iowa or New Hampshire, South Carolina, that does, I mean, we can hope that's kind of telling for how the rest of the electorate will vote in November, provided the Democrats get off their ass and take every advantage that they can.
The problem is that every single one of these elections comes down to one of those frickin' swing states, you know, so that 80,000 people in Michigan and Wisconsin and God knows where else are deciding the whole election. I mean, it's probably going to happen again, don't you think?
Oh, it's definitely going to come down to that. It's just terrifying. It's worse than watching the New York Yankees in the championships get this close and then just somehow the pitching just blows it. You're like, no.
We're in the mid-Atlantic, Josh. You are the wrong. This is the wrong podcast to come on and bemoan.
I know that. But you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm so sad for you.
Just be glad Jeff's on vacation. He's a Mets fan, so we'll.
Yeah.
He'd skewer me.
He'd skewer me.
Can we just take it back to Nikki Haley for a second? I'm not going to miss her. This person is the most shameless opportunist I've ever seen. And if there's a two-sided argument, like Nikki Haley finds a way to be on three sides, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She's saying we shouldn't have divisiveness and I support the leader of our party, but our party is but our country's being badly divided by the leader of our party, Donald Trump. And then if she's looking for inspiration from Margaret Thatcher. Yeah, she kind of lost my vote. Gillian Anderson, who played Margaret Thatcher in The Crown, I would be inspired by her, but not the actual Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah, if Margaret Thatcher is who you're invoking as your inspiration, then you're assuming that people don't pay attention to history, which I understand that's what you're trying to do by taking books out of schools and with your educational programming. But, you know, there's enough older people who have still had an education.
With the general election campaign now a little under 8 months away, we can expect nothing more than a rehash of the issues surrounding the 2020 race. Except now, we will also get a rehash of the 2020 results. In this interview with Brett Baer on Fox, Trump insists he is still the rightful winner of the previous election, and there is no chance that he will let up anytime soon.
What do you say to that female independent suburban voter who feels that way, to win her back?
First of all, I won in 2020 by a lot, okay? Let's get that straight. I won in 2020.
You know that this,
and if you look at all of the tapes, if you look at everything that you want to look at, you take a look at Truth to Vote, where they have people stuffing the ballot boxes on tapes, or
Mr. President,
let's go to recent. Well, wait a minute. Let's go to recent FBI Twitter. Let's go to recent. The 51 agents, all corrupt stuff, Brett.
Understand about the Hunter Biden.
No, but
all
that's cheating
fair
on
things.
The election. But that's cheating on the election.
You lost the 2020 election.
Wisconsin has practically admitted it was rigged. Other states are doing the same right now, and it's continuing.
There have been reviews of every
election.
Potential case of voter fraud in six battleground states, and they found fewer than 475 cases.
You know why? Because they didn't
affected.
Look at the right things.
Okay.
Brett.
Are you going
they
to
were
be
counting? They were counting ballots, not the authenticity of the ballot. The ballots were fake ballots. You had this
I
was
asked,
a very rigged
are
election.
You going to go this is how you're going to tell that independent suburban
no,
woman
no,
voter
no. We're,
to vote
we're
for
off
you.
To winning an election, and I think we're winning very well.
I've seen open mic comics on podcasts getting bullied a lot worse than that
oh,
weren't as that weren't as unhinged as what we just saw.
Oh my god.
Jeez. Fake news, fake ballots, fake
this guy,
win,
fake this, tan.
This guy is like, this guy is just like this
fake
crazy
marriage.
Broken, this guy is a crazy broken robot, and he just won't stop. Like, even if you pulled the plug on the robot, it would still yak the same stupid pre-programmed lines. It's just unbelievable.
It's saying something. It's saying something that it's Fox. That's Fox News telling him he lost.
Yeah.
That's his channel.
Except it's not really his channel anymore. I think now it's like OAN and whatever that other crazy channel.
Newsmax.
Yeah, that's their channel now. Fox, apparently, because you have the temerity to question him, is no longer considered reliable.
My question is, Tom, does he really believe this crap that he's saying, or is he just still being, you know, a wicked, repetitive con man? And the second question is, why is he being interviewed on Fox by one of the Klingon commanders from the original Star Trek series? That's all I want to know.
How far has Fox fallen?
No, but I'm
sorry. It's funny. It's just great.
No, but I'm serious. I'm interested. You guys are all smart people. Does he believe this crap that he's saying, or is he just?
I think he does.
I think
he does.
It's a bit of both.
Yeah.
It's a bit of both. But I think he does believe it because I think he is so bloody desperate to avoid bankruptcy and jail.
And admittedly, Klingons are the last people left that haven't been accused of sexual assault.
Oh, that's true. But they do take horse tranquilizers, I heard. So it's a wash.
I think part of me knows, or I think part of me thinks that Trump knows he's lying, that he's bullshitting about it. Because to be in real estate for that long, like I've known people in real estate, you have to be good at bullshitting, especially if you're in sales, if you're trying to push a product. I mean, all of us, to an extent, we have to kind of BS our way into things and do all sorts of stuff, like do untoward stuff. So there's that. In addition to the continued election denialism, we can also expect to see the lowest of the lows in this campaign. In this clip from a Kansas City news station, we see one group of Kansas Republicans as they take their hatred of Joe Biden to somewhat of an extreme.
As a lifelong Republican, I was appalled, I was sickened, I was disgusted with it that could happen.
Videos from the event show several people hitting and kicking and then beating a training dummy wearing a mask of President Biden. When the former chair of the Kansas Republican Party saw that, he was shocked.
We can disagree with one another on policy, but we're all fellow human beings. We never resort to violence in our country because we disagree with one another.
The current Johnson County GOP chair, in a statement released late this afternoon, said it was an outside exhibitor's self-defense display. The mask was, quote, regrettable and removed, and she added no one collected or solicited any funds in exchange for hitting the device. Political experts we talked to today said what happened here is in line with what is happening nationally in the grand old party.
When Donald Trump is the standard bearer for the party, I don't think these kind of things are surprising.
And the growing divide within it.
There are people on the right who are saying, like, no, this is not who we are. that just doesn't seem to be the group of people who are in control of the Republican Party in 2024.
Which is one reason why Kuckelman is now calling for the resignations of both the state and the county party chairs.
Both of them need to resign.
But there's no indication that's going to happen. In Overland Park, Matt Evans, KBC 9 News.
Someone should have just trolled them and gone, you know, that mask looks a little like Bob Dole. Also, I like how, you know, they like to portray Biden as feeble and stumbling. I brought that up at the top of the show, but like these people couldn't even kick a stationary dummy without tripping all over themselves.
It's like, why you could just imagine these people chasing the world on rascals with like a million flags for Trump. I've seen that actually the suburbs, Long Island. You know, people say Florida is terrible. Go to Long Island. Go to Long Island. All right. Go to Staten Island. They have like Trump flags everywhere, and the moment you make fun of them, they lose it and they just literally fall over themselves as they try to chase you.
Oh, and we're supposed to be the snowflakes, right? But they can't.
Yep.
There's no sense of
waiting for them to figure out that the emperor has no clothes, but I guess that book's banned in schools too.
The only book these people are going to want you to read is one book that just says 2 + 2 = Jesus. That's it.
2 + 2 = North Carolina Republican voters during Super Tuesday nominated Mark Robinson as their candidate for governor in this year's elections in the Tar Heel State. In addition to calling LGBTQ+ people filth, he has said he would shoot opposing government officials. He has denied the Holocaust, said dictators like Hitler and Stalin were taken out of context, disavowed the civil rights movement of the 1960s, even though it gave people who look like him the right to vote and run for office in a state like North Carolina. And he has also suggested that women not be allowed to be in positions of leadership. In terms of a candidate backed by Trump and MAGA, he's considered low-key. And considered too extreme even for the Taliban. In this interview with NBC's Shaquille Brewster, we get a look at the mindset of one such Donald Trump, Mark Robinson supporting voter.
What do you think of Nikki Haley? Did you ever consider her?
You know, what I got to say, you don't really want to put it on.
Let me hear it.
Well, a woman's not going to be a good president. She's going to have no balls to scratch. She's just going to scratch her head. All a woman's good for in my book is having babies and taking care of the house. But that's the old thing, you know. But I'm old.
So you never even considered her?
No.
Mainly because she's a woman?
Because she's female. So, I mean, females, don't take me wrong, females know what they're doing, but they still got to have a little bit of guidance.
Jeez.
That is the Republican nominee for the governor of North Carolina, everybody.
Holy.
Is anyone shocked by this? I'm not.
No, as someone who went to college in North Carolina 20 years ago, oof, this is worse. This is worse than what I remember. I seeing as how he loves Josh and I so much, I feel like, should we do something for the community and go pay him a visit? Just to disgust him just a little bit.
No, most people would disgust him. I would terrify him.
Yes, I want this. Look, if he's going to think that we're filth, he should think that we're horror movie villains.
I'm down for that. Road trip.
And I feel like, Josh, you are the one to make this happen for us.
Because that vibe he was giving off was the vibe of somebody I used to be good friends with who like went down the crate, who just went hardcore conservative, Trumpian crazy. He's like, yeah, there was a time when people knew their place. And I was like, really? You mean, so where was my place, motherfucker? Okay.
Exactly, yeah.
All I can say is, as as a Jew, I'm just thrilled that an anti-Semite and Holocaust denier is heading the Republican ticket in North Carolina. But I'll also say that I think his opponent will beat his ass in the fall because he's a Democrat with experience and credibility.
And on that note, that's our show. I want to thank Joshua Postel, Valerie Pascal, and Walter Gottlieb.
Yay!
Woo!
But before we go, my final thought. I'd like to tell you about a very special person I read about in the news recently. Her name is Jane Burns. She is 101 years old and puts in her time as an employee at a Joann Fabrics in Mason, Ohio. When asked about the secret of a long life, she said, "Just keep moving." No shit, Jane, you're 101. If you don't move, the flies automatically presume you're dead and start feeding on you.
Oh my God.
Jeez.
You're one cold snap away from being a worm and maggot buffet. I bring this up because as we are about to face a Biden-Trump rematch this year, stories like those of Miss Burns put things into perspective. As for me, that perspective is, God, I can't wait for a meteor to destroy us. How can I think such things? Well, I'm reminded of something my dad once told me. He had just turned 79, and I asked, "So, Dad, what's it like being 79? He looked at me for a long time, wondering how the fuck I turned out like this. At which point, he said to me, "Son, no one should live this fucking long."
Oh. Brutal.
Good night. This episode was written and hosted by Tom Myers with panelists Joshua Postel, Valerie Pascal, and Walter Gottlieb. Theme music composed and arranged by Jeroen Vandenberg. Executive producers Tom Myers, Matt Connerton for IPM Nation, and Eddie Carson for Odyssey Radio. Please leave a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple Podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe to our podcast's Patreon for early access to episodes, ad-free episodes, extended episodes, and bonus clips. Thank you for listening, and please visit tommyers.us. Hey everyone, thanks for listening. If you want to listen to more of this episode, go ahead and subscribe to my Patreon. There you can get extended versions of episodes like this one, as well as bonus clips. You can even listen to regular episodes without all these pesky little ads through which you have to fast forward. Doesn't really cost that much. Plans as low as $1 a month. Go to patreon.com/TomMyers, spelled M-Y-E-R-S. Show the love, subscribe, show your support today. That's patreon.com/TomMyers.
Hi everyone. I'm Orb. I am not the official spokesperson for Oddly Funny Productions. That's A-W-D-L-Y, Funny Productions. Aaron is tied up right now. Shut up, I'll untie you in a minute. Here at Oddly, we're producing some great shows. Bombing Run, where comedians compete to see who's Joker Ace. And Orb's Wacky World, a talk show with a mix of comedy, uncomfortable questions, and music, hosted by yours truly. When you think of comedy, think of Oddly Funny Productions. That's A-W-D-L-Y, Funny Productions. Now, how do I get out of here?
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.